Yes, Lord, today we thank God for everything that's transpired. Amen. I was going to correct your cousin on calling him Biko. That's an in-house name. Amen. Just like Justice had his nickname, but he said, Grandpa in public, you cannot call me by that name. After they get over 17, they can't use their nicknames anymore. They have to use their adult names. And I used to tell them, well, I'm over 18 a couple of years. Don't look like I'm a couple of years over 18. At least. Amen. Amen. I'm a couple of years over 18, and I still go by my nickname every time I go to Atlanta. Not only do I go by my nickname with all of my aunts and uncles and cousins, all of my nephews and nieces call me Uncle Nickname. Y'all want to know the nickname or something? Hey, I'll tell you. But nevertheless, we do bless you all. Amen. We thank God, amen, for the Taylor family and Amber traveling safely over the highways. And we did meet you at the hospital. Amen. It was a short stay because in the middle of the city they had an emergency. We had an emergency with Justice, but we bless the Lord. Thank God and give your husband our congratulations for you all being here as well. Amen. It's just great to know that you have support, that people will travel. Amen. Just to be a part of what you're doing. And we thank God for this anniversary weekend and all that has transpired. And I pray that through all of the great messages that we've heard from the seminars to the bishop, that we would take it to heart, letting go of the past. Amen. So many of God's people, even in church, are stuck in yesterday. We can't go forward in God because they're stuck in yesterday. So it's so important that we let go of the past. And I was telling someone yesterday, if Paul, with all of the things that he'd done, Paul said he made havoc of the church. He wasn't worthy to even be called an apostle. But he realized that if he didn't get past that, he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. So Paul had to let all that stuff that happened in the past go. And if I can encourage you, any of you all today, let stuff that happened in the past go. And God loves us so much. In the book of Lamentations, he said his mercies are new what? Every morning God gives us new mercies. And because God gives us new mercies, he doesn't intend for us to stand in whatever mistakes we made in yesterday. God doesn't intend for us to stand in whatever mistakes others have made, because every day is a new day and we have new mercy. Now, the adversary desires to keep you wrapped up, tied up in yesterday. Amen. And you can't go forward as long as you're in yesterday. So, can we all say it together? Let go. Some stuff that had happened this morning before you came to church. Right? And some of us are sitting up in church all messed up. I can't believe they did this this morning. And God's trying to reach you, but you're stuck in the past. Honestly, the past will strangle you. The past will cripple you. It don't mean you're not moving, but a person that is crippled, they can't move as efficiently and proficiently as they can because they are crippled. I wonder today how many of God's people in church right now have crippled minds because of yesterday. Can't go forward. You know, when you look at somebody and you can't do right for God because you look at them and remember yesterday, you all messed up. Amen. The old saying is they got your joy in their pocket. So you got to let go of yesterday. So much that happened yesterday that we can't control. Now, how many of us have been hurt by yesterday? I'm just waiting. I'm going to tell you something. You've hurt other people yesterday, too. Right? So you're not innocent. You've been hurt by yesterday, and guess what? Some of y'all might be a little more holy and righteous than the rest of us. But I put myself in that, too. I messed up some stuff yesterday. So I can't hold on to your past from yesterday. Because I also have a, I can't hold on to your past from this morning because I have a, and I heard Jesus say, and I don't know what Jesus is talking about, some power. Jesus has authority. He said, if you stay in yesterday and you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your. How many of you can't go to heaven with trespasses? Is that right? So if you want to go to heaven, look at somebody and say, you gotta let it go. They ain't gonna beat you up. Talk to them. You gotta let it go. We have to let go of the past. But nevertheless, we do thank God for being here. We thank God for my wife. Sporting her gold. Sparkling gold. Sparkling gold. Oh, she said stop. Well, I'm supposed to compliment her. Sparkling gold. Amen. We thank God for blessing her to be here. We thank God for all of you. I saw Essence came in again, and I had to call Essence. When she was younger, I had a pet name for her. I can't call her that name anymore. Because once you get over a certain age, you use a name, they call that sexual harassment. I told her, I can't call you the name I used to call you because you're too old now. But nevertheless, we're so glad to see her. We're just so glad that all of us are here. I don't intend to be very long. Matter of fact, I won't be long at all because I don't even know what I did wrong. Somebody moved my notes. Amen. But God is such a good God. One of our greatest challenges that we have in life is not to be something for ourselves, but what can we be for God? That's our greatest challenge, not to be what I can do for myself, but what will I do for God? The song that my wife sang, you remember that song? You can build cathedrals grand and tall. You can conquer all life's failures. But guess what? It's only what you do for Christ that will what? Last. Well, don't you know the adversary knows that? So every time we try to go forward in God, he keeps taking us back. Amen. And the amazing thing about church, you can be in church, you can hear a word, and you say, God is speaking, was speaking directly to me. Has it ever happened to any of you?
Yes.
Happened to me on Friday night when Bishop was preaching. God was speaking to me. When Job was going through his stuff, how many know Job went through some hard stuff? Job had one of those places where God was speaking to him. And the scripture said that God said to Job, God speaking, yea, quiet. But man perceived it not. Lord, don't have to speak to me twice. I want to get it the first time. Well, the problem that we are having in church is God has spoken to a lot of us more than once, more than twice, but we didn't get it. We did not perceive what God was saying to us. How many know that the only way you're going to go to heaven is that the Lord has to tell you, well done, thy good and faithful preacher, faithful lover, faithful deacon, faithful usher. God don't care about your titles. He want to know, have you been a servant? Have you been a servant? Not for, I did this for the church. Did you all messed up? Because whatever we do, whatsoever we do, we're supposed to do it as son to Christ and not the church. Right? So you messed up when you did it for the church. Well, I just went to help the pastor out because the pastor looked like he needed help. You didn't do it for the right reason. It's only what you do for Christ. Well, the scripture says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of. I believe in church. A lot of us are working. But the labor of love is missing. If you don't say amen, say out. The labor of love is missing. Right? Because we do it as a labor of love, if nobody else does for God, I will do it because I appreciate what God has done for me. Amen. So because I appreciate what God has done for me, it is now my labor of love. If nobody else does it, I'll do it because God has been good to me. Can we just say hallelujah? Let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. We can go so many different places, but let me start in Psalms 118. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. Amen. Psalm 118, verses 1 through 10. Now, the question that we have to ask, if you turn to, in your spare time, go to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul asked the question, he said, now do I persuade men, or do I do it for Christ? He said, for if I do it for men, then I am not the servant of Christ. Being saved and being in church is all about God. It's not about doing it for your husband, your wife, your best friend, your mother, the first lady, the elder, the pastor, anybody else. What you do in church is supposed to be as unto God. Amen. Psalms 118, verse 1. Do we all have it? And for those that don't have it, it should be on the screen. Is the screen on the screen right now again? Well, all right. Well, y'all got to have a catch up to me. Amen. See, Brother Stephen? You may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. So Brother Stephen brought this other projector last night. Amen. So the devil thought he had us, but he was wrong. Amen. We got it anyway. I don't know what that other one did, but nevertheless, we figured it out later. Let's go to the scripture. Amen. Because we know we have another service tonight. The scripture, verse 1 reads, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercies, I think if we would have a message, we could start right there. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. Anybody know he's good? Come on, I said, anybody know he's good, and his mercies endure. Let Israel now say that his mercies endure forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercies, Lord, are you glad his mercies are enduring forever? You know what mercy says? Mercy says you deserve judgment. Mercy says you messed up. But God said, I'm going to have mercy. The devil comes to God and says, accuse the devil. But God said, I'm going to have mercy. But God said, I'm going to have mercy. Maybe you thought some stuff you should have thought, but God said, I'm going to have mercy. Oh, Lord, thank you. I don't even know what message I'm going to preach. Right? Every time you get to another word, you got another word. All right, let's go. I call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord. One thing about the Lord is when you know God, Wherever you go, God will be with you. He said, if you go through the flood, God said, I will be with you. If you go through the fire, God said, I will be with you. Fire is symbolic of tribulations, hardships, and trouble. God said, I will be with you. But our message is going to come out of this sixth verse. Amen. The psalmist is thinking about the goodness of God. He's thinking about how God has answered him. I'm so glad that God is a prayer answering God. Did you know he can answer your prayer? Come on, did you know God can answer your prayer? When everybody else said God, they couldn't make it, God answered our prayer. When he said we'd give him a couple of months or a year, God answered our prayer. Because the scripture said that if God be for you, we'll all thank you. I said if God be for you, who then can be against you? This sixth verse says, the Lord is on my side. How many really can proclaim that? You know, Job said that I've heard of the Lord by the hearing of the ear. And I've seen what he done for others. He said, when the eyes didn't see what God has done for me. Job said, God took me from the lower, first he took me from the highest high. Then he brought me down to the lowest low. Then in the end, Job was able to say, now I see that the Lord is taking me above my highest high. He said, but now my eyes still see. Has anybody had that testimony that my eyes didn't see what the Lord has done for me? Hallelujah. All right, thank you. Did I turn it off? Yes, I did. But that fan is killing me. Hold on. If somebody would say, man, you go to that church, they got all kinds of problems. Amen. Hopefully they can come back on in a minute. But Job was able to say, I was down, I was high, I was low. Now when God brings you up, he doesn't bring you up where you were, he takes you higher. Everything Job had, God restored it, and it was that much more. Amen. So the sixth verse said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? That's his favorite scripture? Amen. Well, we're preaching about justice today. Amen. I don't know. That wasn't his favorite scripture. When he talked to me, he had so many favorites. I didn't isolate one favorite. I just know I know the whole scripture he did like was the one when God answers Isaiah and he tells Hezekiah, I add 15 more years to your life. Justin said, Grandpa, I don't like this. I don't like that one. I said, why? He said, because he only gave me 15 more years. He said, I want more than that. So I do remember. But truly, the Lord is our helper. Amen. And God can make a way out of no way. So our message today, you as a projector, don't come back on, is I will not fear. I will not fear. Why will I fear? Because the Lord is on my side. Amen. So I might have a million against me, but I will not fear, because the Lord is on my side. Now 1 John 4 verse 18 said, there is no fear in love. What is love? God is love. So as long as you're in God, you should not fear, because there is no fear in love. We talk to people all the time, they can't do for God because of fear of man. If God is on your side, you do not have to fear man. So perfect love will cast out fear. Why? Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So I will not fear. Though a host rise against me, I still will not fear. Though war may rise against me, I will not fear. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. And guess what the Lord did? He made heaven and earth. And he made heaven and earth. Don't you realize there's nothing in your life that God can't do? So I will not fear, because the Lord is on my side. Now, in this, in the New Testament, the Greek word for fear is phobos. P-H-O-B-O-S, phobos. And this phobos means to fear. It means to shrink back. It means to withdraw. Amen. Like, I was going to go to church, but I was afraid of what somebody was going to do, so I shrunk back. I feared, so I didn't go to church. I just use that as a good example. So y'all ought to come to church. So I was afraid, because when I walked into church, somebody looked at me wrong. Don't worry about people. Nobody had a heaven or hell to put you in. You don't go to church for people. You go to church because God is good. And God is good, and his mercy endure forever. So I don't go to church for you. Hey, if I went to church based on how people look at me, I just stay in the house. In someone else's opinions. Why do you walk with God based on other people's opinions? When the Bible said man only sees the outer appearance, but God looks deeper. That's why I just want to make sure I got a clean heart. Because all that pure in heart shall see God. Amen. The Bible said God is not unto them that are a clean heart and a right spirit. So if your heart is clean and your spirit is right, God is with you. Now if we check right here, somebody said heart right here. If we start right here, it's your heart. You know, is your heart clean? You know, is your heart pure? And you know if you got a right spirit or a... Yeah, can I give y'all some classic examples of a wrong spirit? It's a classic example. Y'all want to give some opinions? I come in the door, I got all happy. I walk over here, and I see this brother here. I turn my back. That's what kind of spirit is that?
It's a wrong spirit.
Wrong spirit. When I was in church, see, you had a wrong spirit, right? And you get ready to walk up to somebody and you remember what they did back in 1915. So y'all might talk about none of y'all, because ain't none of y'all been here in 1915, have y'all? If you are about 1815, if you've been in 1815, that means you're a mommy. A skeleton, right? But if you're going to remember something somebody did way back, and you got your praise on, you got your shout on, and you see them, and in the middle of your shout, you got them.
Wrong spirit.
I've been a little comical for you. Nothing happened. But that won't go to heaven. Are you with me? So God sent his son to be of a clean spirit. He doesn't make a clean heart. Amen. In church, a lot of times we get the message.
He got trouble. Paul went back and firmed the souls of the saints. And he said, we shall through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That means you're going to have weapons that are formed against you. But the scripture says they war prosper. Why?
The law.
The law. The enemy was trying to take down with the law. The enemy tried to set up ambushes and traps, but the law was on my side. He said, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. Anybody has some stuff that people say has not been true. Anybody tarnish your good name, if that tongue rises against you in judgment, God said, I will condemn it. Amen. You know what? They're messing with you on every side, God said, I'm with you. They're talking about you, God said, I'm still with you. Amen. They won't harm you. They won't destroy you. They won't shake your name. They won't dishonor you because I am with you. It's something about having God with you. Now, a lot of us depend on people. I only met one person in the whole Bible that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will be with you. Who's that? So if all of y'all look very intelligent. If you're going to be in a battle and you're going to have some hard times, don't you want someone that's with you? Years ago, I had to have surgery. Right? When I got to the place where they had to give me all that anesthesia and all that other stuff, they said, okay, my wife didn't go with me that time. Because I said, if it's too early in the morning, I said, I'll just take myself. So I thought I would just take myself and bring myself home. They had all the rules that didn't work. But anyway, when I got there, right, they said, well, you got to stop here because nobody can go in there with you anyway. Anybody been in surgery before? That's why everybody been in surgery. Who went in there with you? None of your loved ones. Your best friend, they couldn't go in there with you. I said, well, that's all right, because I'll take Jesus. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I told the doctor, I said, Doc, I would prefer that you don't pull me out. He said, well, you can't say a wickedness. I said, I don't trust nobody that much. He said, well, you can't be awake doing this surgery. We got to take you out. Since they had to put me out, I had to make sure somebody was on guard and didn't go out. Right? Since I couldn't watch those doctors, Brother Stephen, I have Jesus. Right? Because no one else can go in that operating room with me, but saints of God, take Jesus with you. We've heard testimonies about Jesus being with you. Take Jesus with you. Is that the you put me back up to Isaiah. I'm going to finish this up because sometimes we stop right there, but that's not what the scripture is. Amen. If I want something for God, you know, I've heard him say, when you need something for God, if you go to the Bible says God cannot deny his stuff, neither can he deny his word. So when you want something for God, you can say, God, this is what you said in this book, in this chapter, now I'm going to stand on it. If you stand on it, I can't deny himself. Amen. God can't deny himself. Because the scripture says, whereby two immutable things, which is impossible for God to tell a lie. Immutable means God is not wishy-washy. It doesn't mean God will say yes when he means no, and God will say no when he means yes. Whereby two immutable things, which is impossible for God. So if God said it, that's what he'll do. But you got to stand on his word. So he said, this is the because God knows your heart. Impossible situations. When the children of Jehoshaphat had a great host which came against them, Jehoshaphat prayed and said, "Lord, you know we have no might, no power to come against this great company that's coming against us." He said, "Lord, we read it like Jehoshaphat and Asa." For those that want to be believed in, we're at the guest of the message, don't get the name. Right? So he said, "We have no power to go against this great host that's coming against us, but we rely on your name." And the most miracle of it all is that even the smell of fire. Even the smell of fire. And nobody can do you like Jesus. Don't live your life in the fear of man. Your greatest fear should be God. Jesus said, fear not him as we all stand. Jesus said, fear not him as able to destroy the body. But fear him as able to destroy both the body and the soul is what God is concerned about today. The soul is a part of us that lives on in eternity. So we don't fear him as able to destroy the body, but we fear him as able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. That's who we're supposed to fear today. I said that to say this. Don't have any greater fear of any person more than God. Now, a lot of times God allows us to be in positions, or put in places, so he can say, do you love me more? That's the question today. How much do we love Jesus? Only Jesus will go with you all.